Hello, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Talking Puck. That's right, the podcast returns in all its auditory glory. And Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you and ready to go for another season of hockey. And Jay, thanks for joining me as always. And you know what? Just coming into this season, there's so much to talk about. We'll try to tackle it as best as we can day by day. Folks, you can always check out the blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. But Jay, welcome in, and are you ready to go for this hockey season?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a very exciting season. Living here in Nashville, the Central Division is primed to be a tremendous battle once again this year. But a lot of really interesting storylines to take a look at and to watch throughout the league. As we're approaching the 10 game mark for teams here, we'll start to get a little bit of a feel for teams. But, you know, usually to me, I think it takes about 15, 18 games for teams to really kind of settle into the season. But I'm looking forward to it. It's been a great first couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season plays out.
Now, to be fair, I did want to get into talking about some of my surprises and some of those today, and you said no, it's too early for that. So instead, we're going to go with the Goaltenders Under the Microscope, which is a blog I published a little bit earlier on. And Jay, I led with a quote by Jacques Plante, the great Montreal Canadiens netminder, where he said, "Goaltending's a normal job, sure. How would you like it if at your job, every time you made a small mistake, a little red light went on over your desk, and 15,000 people stood up and screamed at you?" Now, I've not experienced it on that level, but I played goalie my entire life playing hockey, so I understand that as a goaltender, any mistake you make can be writ large on the scoreboard. The other team's number goes up by one. So it is a pressure-filled position, but I am going to argue that there are some teams where the goaltender is far more important to the success of the team than perhaps on some other clubs. So I'll let you lead wherever you want to start. Go ahead, pick a team, a conference, wherever you want to go with this.
Well, I'm going to start with saying I agree with you. The goaltending position, that can change a team's fortune more than any other single position, any other single player on the ice. So I agree with you there. In your blog, you listed out 10 goalies who you kind of put a little bit more under the microscope, 5 Eastern Conference, 5 Western Conference. Let's start in the Eastern Conference because I think we have a little bit more of an agreement there, so we could probably buzz through that a little quicker. The 5 guys you listed out, I think really good choices there. You talked about Carey Price, Henrik Lundqvist, Freddie Anderson, Roberto Luongo, Carter Hutton. I think all 5 of those are going to be real important to their team's chances. I will say, though, Price, Lundqvist, you know, as great as they are, and as much, I mean, these are guys, when they're on their game, they're Vezina caliber goaltenders. Lundqvist, I think, is already a Hall of Fame credentialed goaltender. Luongo, same thing. But I'm not sure that Montreal or the Rangers are real legitimate playoff teams, regardless of how well those two play. As interesting as it will be to watch them, and as fun as it can be to watch those two when they're on their game, I don't know how much they can impact the playoff race. The other 3 goalies who you mentioned there, Hutton, Anderson, Luongo, I think are all on teams that have an eye to the playoffs, and I think their performance will go a long way towards that, especially Carter Hutton. I mean, he's the one of the group that, you know, Buffalo, I think, is going to be on that playoff cut line. They've got a lot of offense. They've got some real skilled players. Hutton needs to really show that he could be a number one goalie. I'm just not sure that he's got that in him.
Well, and I'm going to talk about Carey Price real quick, because Montreal is a team that, as Price goes, so they will go. They're missing Shea Weber to start at least half the season. They've made a lot of changes, and they're trying to get back to a winning culture. When Price is healthy, he's a world beater, and I think he can steal games for them all the way down the stretch and keep them competitive and in the playoffs. Lundqvist, I feel like I'm the guy. I'm going to start leading the charge here on this. And I think he's an incredible goaltender. As you mentioned, he's definitely Hall of Fame consideration when he hangs up the skates. But I'm going to be among the first to say I think his time's passed. I think this is his last legitimate season to have any sort of run to carry a team into the playoffs. I thought his preseason was awful. And I watched a lot of preseason hockey, especially the goaltenders, to prepare for this piece, just to get a feel on how they were playing heading into the regular season. And I'm not saying that over a long season he can't pull it off, but I think Lundqvist is the guy who is the most under the microscope as far as what his career could have out in front of him. Carter Hutton is...
Well, one thing here, Tom, just to kind of talk about Lundqvist, he has made some changes to his game. I was watching NHL Network last night, and Kevin Weeks, who, in my opinion, one of the best goaltender analysts around there, was breaking down some of the top goaltenders and was talking about how Lundqvist went out and lost a lot of weight. He's down to about 180 pounds, which is, I think, the lightest he's ever played at in the NHL. And, you know, Weeks, he was talking about how Lundqvist made that conscious decision, how the, you know, the butterfly style put so much pressure on his joints. He made that decision to try to play a little bit lighter, be a little bit quicker, have that put a lot less pressure on his joints as he goes through a lot of those movements. You know, so far 921 save percentage here, again, real early in the season. You know, I wonder how much of the preseason was him getting used to himself at that lighter weight, at a little bit different style than he was through most of his career.
And that's certainly a possibility. And I'll tell you what, Jay, again, being a goaltender myself, I can tell you how much stress it puts on your hips, your groin, and your knees. And the problem is now, we see it with goaltenders like Jonathan Quick. Guys get into hip injuries, they get into groin injuries. So if you something goes wrong with your hip, all of a sudden you're putting pressure on the groin, you're playing a little bit different, and it's a lot of side to side. It's a lot of pushing off, a lot of up and down. That's kind of the new knee and ankle trouble for goaltenders is hips and groins. I mean, groins have always been an issue, but not the way they are now, especially with the movement. So you know what? And again, I'm willing to see what Lundqvist can do. I just think this is his last kick at the can. I don't know what's going to happen after this. Carter Hutton in Buffalo. I'm not ready to anoint them a playoff team yet. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, they're a cusp team to make it. Maybe. I don't know if they're going to be good enough at the end of the year through a whole season in the Eastern Conference. But the guy I actually did want to talk about a little more, I didn't talk about him much in the blog, though, Freddie Anderson. Toronto's a team that has so much firepower. Anderson only has to be good enough. But don't mistake that for he's not important, because he'll be able to give up a goal here and there that you know, the team can hide. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to win some shootouts. And so Anderson, I don't think, is so much keeping a high save percentage and a low goals against. I think it's more that big save at the right time for Toronto if they're going to have a lot of success this year. That's the pressure that's going to be on Freddie Anderson.
I agree, and I like Freddie Anderson. I've liked his background, you know, for a while. His time in Anaheim, he was real important to a lot of the success that they had there. I think he's a good fit for what Toronto is trying to do. It'll be interesting now, again, with Toronto having such high expectations, to see how he balances the pressure, how he balances a couple of bad games here and there. You know, what the media pressure is going to be like, what the spotlight's going to be like with the expectations being so high there in Toronto. But I like him as a goaltender. I think he's going to do well there. I think that team is going to be a real fun team to watch.
All right, Jay, let's scoot over to the Western Conference here. My number one question mark, and has been probably for a couple of years, is Jake Allen. I've been a big Jake Allen fan and supporter for St. Louis. I actually thought they should have flipped him the keys a long time ago. What is it about St. Louis where their starting goaltenders are just hot and cold? They're hit or miss. And I mean, you go back the last couple of years, all the way to Yaroslav Halak and Brian Elliott and now Jake Allen and all these guys who have come through, play great in stretches and completely disappear for stretches.
Yeah, you know, Jake Allen, he came out his draft year. He was supposed to be that franchise goalie type. His career hasn't been bad, and he's had some flashes where he's shown it. He just hasn't been consistent enough, whether it's been injuries, whether it's been been play slipping here or there. You know, just something he just hasn't been able to put together, that full streak, that full stretch that escalates him into that upper echelon of goalies. For St. Louis to be a legitimate threat at the top of the Central Division, they need him to be an all-star goalie caliber. That might be a little too much to ask of him based on his past body of work.
And Jay, one of the ultimate will they or won't they teams also in the Central Division is Chicago. No Corey Crawford to start the season, trying to come back from a concussion. We know that can be dicey. They end up grabbing Cam Ward. I don't think Cam Ward's the guy to really take them anywhere. Again, almost a little bit like, okay, Chicago, we know you can score goals. You have the capability of scoring goals. You've got some firepower. But when Chicago was winning cups, and a lot of people forget this, they were doing it with defense, not even goaltending, but defense. They were among the league leaders, fewest shots allowed. They took care of things in their own zone. They blocked a ton of shots. And I think they're aging out a little bit defensively, and they're running into some contract issues. I don't know that Cam Ward is going to take them anywhere, and to me it only underscores the importance of Corey Crawford not only coming back, but playing perhaps the best he's played yet in his career just to get them into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen it. You know, Crawford's first two games this weekend, really strong numbers, you know, 205 goals against average, 941 save percentage. Again, small sample size, only two starts. But Cam Ward, in his six games, a 4.23 goals against, 885 save percentage. And, you know, and Cam Ward was facing St. Louis, Ottawa, Minnesota, you know, teams that you wouldn't necessarily think of as being the high-scoring offensive juggernauts in the league. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if Chicago wants to return to the playoffs, it needs Corey Crawford to be healthy. It needs Corey Crawford to be at the level he was when they were the dominant team in the Central Division. I don't know that Corey Crawford is a superstar goaltender, but he did enough, and he made key saves at the key times when Chicago was at the peak of it, of its little run there. He still can be that type of goaltender. If he is, Chicago can get in the playoffs. Once you get in the playoffs, Chicago with that experience can be a very difficult out. So I'm with you. I think, again, Crawford, Allen, two guys very much under the microscope there in the Central Division. Third goaltender who you mentioned from the Central Division, Connor Hellebuck up in Winnipeg. And I think this is a very interesting year for him. You know, the Jets kind of flew under the radar, no pun intended there, the last couple of years. You know, and last year they were a great story because it wasn't projected at the start of the year. Now they've got the expectations. They're the number one, number two team, number three team maybe in the Western Conference, if not the entire NHL. They're a team who, you know, whose aspirations are Stanley Cup or bust. So how does Hellebuck stand up to that? How, you know, can he back up last year with a similar type of year? Can he withstand the media pressure? And that's a different animal. And I'll be interested to see what he does, how he handles that this year.
Again, you can check out the blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on air. He is at Bowtie Sports. Jay, the other goaltenders I had mentioned, Marc-Andre Fleury and Antti Raanta, feel free. I know there's a little bit of a disagreement coming up here.
Well, Marc-Andre Fleury, I'm going to agree with you on again. You know, Vegas, such a great story last year. Fleury, you know, gave them a lot of confidence. I know he was injured for large stretches of the year, but his play when he was healthy, it gave them the confidence that they were able to play more carefree. I think he was a huge part of them getting into the playoffs. Yet again, it'll be important for him to repeat that. He probably needs to be healthier this year for them to kind of do what they want to do during the regular season. Antti Raanta, I'm going to have a little bit of a disagreement with you there, not because Ranta's not important to his team, but I don't see the Coyotes being in playoff contention this year. So, you know, Ranta can legitimately be the best goalie in the league, and they still wouldn't necessarily be in the playoff picture. And I don't think Ranta's that good to begin with. You know, I think he's a borderline kind of starter. So he would not be one of the goalies who I would take a look at. Goalies who would, or one name who really kind of pops in mind is Cam Talbot up in Edmonton. I mean, Edmonton has a tremendous lineup of skaters. A lot of it's going to be, how do they play defense? What sort of goaltending do they get? In 16-17, when they made the playoffs, when they were the darling of the league, Cam Talbot, 2.39 goals against average, you know, strong save percentage. Last year, the goals against ballooned up to 3.02, save percentage dropped to 9.08. You know, this year, he needs to be in that under 2.5 goals against range. He needs to be up above a 9.15 save percentage if Edmonton's going to sniff the playoffs. If he does, I mean, you talk about McDavid, you talk about Dreisaitl, you know, you talk about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, that they've got some really impressive players up front. If they can only get the goaltending and the defense to give them a chance to win some of those games.
And my honorable mentions were Gibson in Anaheim, Pekka-Rinne in Nashville, and the Varlamov-Grubauer combo in Colorado. Off to a surprisingly good start in the Avalanche, and I think that's a big reason why. They're getting some pretty good goaltending there. And again, you can check out the blog over at Talking Puck. Jay, anybody else you wanted to mention? I do think Cam Talbot is going to be important, but for the same reason you weren't on board with Antti Raanta, I'm not on board with Cam Talbot. I just don't think the Oilers are a playoff team. I just don't see them sniffing the postseason. And so, you know, Colorado, I think the success of one or both of those goaltenders is going to be massive for them one way or the other. And Anaheim with Gibson, for me, I think that that's a really interesting division. The Sharks are going to take a while to come together. I know everybody's like, oh, they're not doing great yet. Well, it's going to take a while for them to figure out the whole Carlson Burns thing, first of all, and then just kind of get their chemistry established from there. But maybe in the meantime, the Ducks quietly motor along and you know, skate to another division crown because they get off to a good start.
I'm a fan of Gibson, but I think Anaheim is a solid team, you know, regardless of how he plays. I know that they're aging a little bit in some positions. They've had some injuries, but I'm a fan of Gibson. I think he is a really solid goaltender. I agree with you, Colorado, you know, Varlamov, when healthy, he's been a very interesting goaltender going back to his days in Washington. You know, I question if he can stay healthy. I'm not sure that Grubauer is the type of goalie who can really lift you to, you know, to top status. Now, you know, if Grubauer plays well, if Varlamov is only average, you know, Colorado can still sneak in the playoffs, but I think Varlamov is the one who needs to have the hot hand if you know, if Colorado really wants to be what it wants to be. The other goaltender who we haven't mentioned, again, seems very central division heavy, but the division is just tough to pick out. You know, it's Ben Bishop in Dallas. I mean, Dallas has an interesting group of skaters. They can score goals. A lot of the question has been defense in their own end. Last year they got good defense. You saw how difficult a team they were to play against. How does Ben Bishop respond? What sort of goaltending do they get with Bishop? If he gives them the type of goaltending he gave Tampa a couple of years ago, you know, if he's in that Vezina kind of conversation, Dallas all of a sudden becomes one of those teams that, you know, that's over 100 points and becomes a very interesting out in the playoffs.
So that'll put a wrap on it for our goaltenders under the microscope this season. Feel free to drop by the blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. Jay Levin at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. I'm Tom Callahan at Callahan on Air. And feel free to drop your comments over there on the blog. We'd love to hear from you or on Twitter as well. So, Jay, Look forward to talking to you in our next installment.
Talk to you soon, Tom.